Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now, Rosario Bucks play-by-play announcer. Follow him on Twitter at PaschettBall. He is Jim Paschke. Jim, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Sparky. Gary, Leroy, good to be with you guys again. What is the mood today?
People are angry.
Tell him, man, about Carter, man.
People are angry. So
yeah, tell him about Carter.
Okay, so there's several angles to this. I'm sure you've seen a lot of it on Twitter. So one of the first gripes with a majority of Bucks fans is that Bud never gave Javon Carter a chance to play for George Hill, who by most fans' accounts, wasn't doing a whole bunch for this team. And they thought Carter could have played maybe better defense than Hill, maybe hit an occasional three like he showed in the regular season. That was the first sticking point with fans that we're finding out today and have saw on social media since the game ended yesterday. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I noticed that as well. Maybe it's something that we don't know about. As we saw last year in the Brooklyn series, Coach Budenholzer didn't use Bobby Portis, and you brought him back later, and it worked out just fine. So we might have to wait and see what we can learn about that. I'm not sure, but I noticed it as well. And I wondered if Carter could have, taken some minutes there, but coach's decision, right?
Yeah, it is, and I'm not really hung up on that, Jim. Gary Ellison, by the way, I think for me, defensively, you look how well they played, and how I would say Boston exploited them, the Bucks, in that, and they've always let the other opposing team shoot the three. But you look at what Grant Williams did to them. You look at what Jaylen Brown did to them that first game. Horford then went off in another game. I mean, they just had a lot of guys, different guys, do different things to them on different nights, along with Tatum.
Well, early in the series, Gary, people were asking me and pointing out that they didn't believe Boston could sustain three-point shooting
correct
long enough, often enough,
yeah,
to win four games. Well,
correct.
Maybe that calculus is starting to change, because my answer to them was, if we were talking about Golden State, you would not say that, because they can do it. Well, if they can do it, why can't another team figure out how to do it? And I suggest that Boston change that calculus in this seven-game series.
Jim, it's always a pleasure having you. I mean, truly just amazing. I just think that Bucks fans, sometimes I know they want their team to win, but sometimes we just don't look at the 4-for-33 shooting. But I'm going to get away from that a little bit. And I'm going to also think about Giannis looked like he was spent. He was tired. It looked like Holiday was tired. They play a lot of minutes, but they still, to me, had a chance to win. And it probably goes back to when they had a big lead in game six and didn't sustain it. So I think the thing they're kicking themselves with, how do we get better in making open, wide open, uncontested shots? Because Boston made theirs and the Bucks just didn't make theirs.
Leroy, why am I hearing the garbage truck beeping while it's backing up? It's backing up to 2 years ago when people said he wasn't using his stars, wasn't playing them enough minutes.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
2 years ago, he wasn't using people properly. He wasn't using Giannis enough. Well, Giannis plays 43 minutes yesterday. Holiday played 41 minutes, just under that. Giannis is missing layups. Point-blank layups at the end of that game, at the end of a long season, a long playoffs, a long seven-game series. What's the answer? Do we go back to 2 years ago and we say, you're not playing enough, or now do we say playing too much? I mean, I'm lost on that one. I think those are very critical decisions, and I think a lot of things go into those decisions. And again, the team has to look at that and figure out. But we can't say something 2 years ago and then come back and blast it 2 years later,
but,
I don't think.
But what about this? And I said this last week, and part of me thinks it did come to fruition there after the first quarter with Giannis to a certain degree, and that is part of the reason why it's so difficult to repeat in the NBA is because the season is so blasted long on for one, and then you get a couple months to recuperate, and then you go back and you try to do it again. That's why, you know, the Bulls going 3 years in a row and then being off and then going 3 years in a row again was so impressive, because these guys have a lot of wear and tear. And then you put Drew Holiday in the Olympics right after that and ask him to go out there and do the same thing again. Do you think any of that factored into the fatigue?
Well, and the short turnaround after a July finish last year, right?
Yep.
And, you know, we're talking about three, and I've used this term before, you know I've said it, your regular seasons. It's hard to figure all of this out because everything has been just, you know, so outside the box for 3 years in the NBA. I'm not sure how you calculate anything anymore. But all of that is true. I think, you know, you need great talent, health and luck to win a championship. The Bucks didn't have enough of all three of those this year. And, you know, it is hard to repeat. And I think some of that is mental. I think this team had the kind of dedication and resolve that could have allowed them to repeat. But this was an odd season. The NBA, we talked about this the last time we visited. The NBA went through a record number of players. The Bucks had a lot of players come through. Did that take a little time away from practice for veterans and champions to do different things while they were trying to get new players integrated into the system? I don't know. But, you know, it's such a complex riddle to first win a championship and secondly to repeat. I mean, it's really hard to do.
Jim, I want to look at the landscape of the NBA. Do you think it's still going to be heavily driven by free agency? Teams have to make these decisions. These players got to opt out or not. Or do you think, because it seemed like that waters down the draft a little bit, because, you know, so many teams are trying to go for it, which is fine, but you have teams in turmoil like, you know, the Lakers. Do you think these teams need to maybe go back to put more emphasis on the draft and the combines? Or do you think most of these teams are going to the luxury tax and just try to sign as many superstars as possible just to make it into the playoffs?
Well, Leroy, I think it depends on the situation. And I think we can just talk about the Bucks in that regard. They're in a spot where I think they have to decide now. They have the 24th pick in the draft. Do they use that pick to continue to try and win now with Giannis? Or do they start, when do they start to think about 3 and 4 years from now and what they have to do moving forward? Mm-hmm. I think the tendency is probably to use a player like Giannis and Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and do whatever you can to win another one in the next few years. That's probably the way I would fall on this, but you're constantly evaluating where you are. If I am correct in what I read, Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton have player options. Brooke Lopez has an expiring contract, and Chris Middleton is extension eligible. So, okay, those four decisions alone are going to be critical to the Bucks next year and the year after that. So it's going to be fascinating to see which way they go. That's just one example, and every team has to figure that out. If you're losing games, you know, the way the Bucks did for so many years, it's less critical. But now you have to decide, do we go for the here and now, or do we have to start, and when do we have to start thinking about beyond the here and now?
But wouldn't you think, Jim, that they just run it back? I mean, I don't know who they deemed it. Well, I would say the nucleus would be the big three or whatever you call that, and that would be Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday, and then you add from there. But because you didn't have Middleton, wouldn't it be safe to say that you got Middleton, if you had Middleton in this series, that the Bucks win the series, and then you run it back because you didn't have him?
I would agree with that. I would say that they would have probably been the better team at this point in time in seven games. I thought Boston was very capable of doing what they've done. And frankly, I think they're capable of winning the whole thing. But yes, the Bucks would have been much stronger with Chris Middleton. I don't think that's debatable at all. And of course, with him being extension eligible, you're talking about money now. That's another big chunk of change that the Bucks have to figure out. And then how much do you have left to fill in the gaps and all of that? You had four players yesterday in the rotation that scored a total of 6 points. I don't think one game will dictate how you look at them and what you decide, but you know, you have to look at everything, and you know, it'll be fascinating to see what happens, you know, how they decide to play this. They have some young players that I think can develop in the next year or two, and we'll just have to see what decisions are made. But it's hard to keep a group together. You know, when the window's open for a team, that window automatically is closing as soon as it's open, right?
Right. Yep.
And then you have to control the speed of the closure, and that's where the Bucks are right now. The team isn't getting younger. The key players aren't getting younger. So all of that factors into the decisions. I'm glad I'm not a general manager. John Horst has a very difficult job.
I'm glad I'm not the general manager either, and we can just sit on the sideline and kind of talk about this stuff. And one thing that we're getting a lot today, Jim, is the Bucks giving up a lot of threes, and it seems like that's their deal. That's Budenholzer's deal. That's the way they coach it. They pack the lane. You look at Grant Williams shot a lot of threes. What's your thoughts on maybe the Bucks are Bud rectifying how he does things defensively?
Well, I think that, you know, I mentioned the calculus of that earlier,
right.
And I do think that the math that they have boiled all of that down to is sound most of the time. I think you maybe from this point they have to say, okay, if it's not working the way we think it should, according to the math, then we have to have a backup plan and do something different. But you're going to use that, what, 5, 6, 8 times during the regular season? And maybe, you know, in a series in the playoffs, if the Bucks had gotten to Golden State this year in the finals, they would have had to face it again, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't a lot of teams that can do what Golden State does frequently and what Boston just did. So I think the math is still probably sound, but I'll bet they'll be looking at how sound it is and if they have to have some kind of a wrinkle to adjust when it's not going according to their math.
All right, thanks for coming on, Jim. Really appreciate it. Jim Paske, retired Bucks play-by-play announcer. Follow him on Twitter at Pasketball. What does Jim Paske do now for the rest of the summer? Are you still doing stuff with the Bucks at all on the side, or what do you got going on?
Well, I have done a few things, you know, just enough for my taste and probably theirs during the regular season. And if they ask, I'll obviously be involved in any way that they need me to be. We have 5 months until training camp opens, so you know, it won't be quite as exciting without Bucks basketball, but we have a couple of rounds left to watch in the NBA, so I'll be doing that, and I'll figure it out in June.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.